You're with Hervoye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Before we get to my guests, just a few headlines breaking right now, like literally a few minutes ago. It's like we're having another revolution in Pakistan. So the Pakistani people, Imran Khan, is making his way to the capital, Islamabad, I think it is. And all hell is breaking loose. So looks like the government's calling the military to secure the capital. So we may be witnessing a counter-color revolution. So that is just breaking. That is interesting. Interesting times, exciting. So let's see what happens out there in Pakistan. DuckDuckGo, which everyone should stop using, they've shown their true colors, I think it was a few weeks ago or a few months ago, by saying they will censor information related to the war in Ukraine. And now apparently they've been caught giving Microsoft permission for trackers, despite strong privacy reputation. They're allowing Microsoft trackers to continue running. Yeah, DuckDuckGo. I've interviewed Dr. Robert Epstein in the past, one of the top experts on these matters, and he recommends SwissCows.com. You've always got Yandex. The French Quant, the search engine, has also capitulated to censorship, so we don't really have many options. Of course, you've got Brave browser as well. The Cradle, which is a great resource regarding events in the Middle East, has posted a video of Nasrallah saying that any harm done to the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount will lead to a regional explosion with dire consequences. And I was just commenting on that a few days ago on TNT, saying exactly the same thing, that tensions are high there. And he's saying that, I mean, this is basically a World War III scenario if anything happens, as if we don't have enough World War III scenarios. So anyways, watch the Temple Mount, what's going on there. We've got Robin Brooks, chief economist, who works at the Goldman Sachs, saying global recession is coming. Well, hello, McFly. Maybe depression is more properly put. He posts a chart of how China and Germany and Japan are really in the red, and that they are the world's biggest exporters. And basically, yeah, we are headed into a depression. And another story from Countersignal. Somehow I missed this. This is from April, so a month ago. It says, top doctor says higher-ups were given fake vaccine cards. Former White House COVID advisor and assistant professor at McMaster, Dr. Paul Alexander, says several top officials, including senior doctors and CEOs, were issued fake vaccine cards after refusing mRNA vaccines. This Alexander writes in his Substack that senior doctors and CEOs in U.S. hospitals were offered vaccine cards, fake, when they told their hospitals they did not want the vaccine when they were mandated to take it. And the hospital leaders said they would not be suspended or fired. He's begging the question, how come? Is it due to the lack of safety that these people knew about? So one rule for them, one rule for us. The WHO is working on these digital vaccine passports, which I guess will be difficult, if not impossible, to fake. When we get to that point, I wonder how this is going to work. Maybe the elites will have some special digital vaccine passports, backdoor, or something. And then we've got Elon Musk here. American Military News reports China must be prepared to destroy Elon Musk's Starlink system, Chinese researchers say. And my weekly TNT guest Terry Wolf commented, saying, since they are just DARPA spy satellites, that makes perfect sense. I agree with him. I think Elon Musk is merely a front man for DARPA Pentagon stuff. And with that, we'll be right back with our guest here on TNT Radio.
your trusted news source.
Something you just can't question.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's the Hrvoje Moric Show on TNTRadio.live, streaming live on the smartphone app, website, TuneIn podcast platform, I think, or Rumble as well, YouTube, and Odyssey. And I'm joined by Phil Dennison, who is the founder of Bad Daddy Publishing, Better Bedtime Stories for Free-Thinking Parents. The website is thebaddaddy.com. He also writes for Chris Martinson's Peak Prosperity. Welcome back again, Phil.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, hopefully we'll have better luck with the technical difficulties this time.
Yeah, I don't think people wouldn't know, but Phil was on the show a few weeks ago, and there was a mini cyber pandemic by me here in Mexico. The internet went out, I think like 10 or 15 minutes into our interview, and it went out in the entire area for 3 full hours, which has never happened before. So quite a, you know, interesting experience. So anyways, let's try this again. So I've known about your site and your work for a while now. And, you know, I think maybe it'd be great to tell us a bit about yourself and the work you do at Bad Daddy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks again for having me. Yeah. I spent a lot of time on hold the last time, although not the full 3 hours. I'm just kidding. But yeah, actually, we publish what we call Better Bedtime Stories, as you mentioned. And kind of where I got to that point was, you know, I've got kids ages 4 to 13 years old. So I've been reading bedtime stories to them at night, really, for 13 years. And for much of that time, boy, we had a lot of fun. Dr. Seuss, The Day the Crayons Quit. You know, the kids loved it, that time we spend together. But I realized it's kind of a missed opportunity not to really teach them anything. Not that you don't learn some good things from the traditional bedtime stories. But the big miss was helping them to understand the world around them in ways that they're not going to learn in the school system. So I kind of married my two passions, which are economics and finance, really macro and markets, as well as reading to the kids. And so we've got a line of Better Bedtime Stories that really focus in on the money system, specifically the difference between sound and fiat money, and really how the fiat money system today is kind of the root of all the world's biggest, most intractable problems, whether you're talking about, you know, the inflation that we're experiencing today, or endless wars, or, you know, even the environment. You know, the environmental degradation is really a result of this growth at any cost culture, which comes as a direct result of the debt-based fiat money system, which of course requires constant growth on a finite planet. So we take those topics down to the children's level, and it's not stuff that we expect them to get right away. But the beauty of it is, you know, my favorite memories, or my most indelible memories from being a child, were reading things like Dr. Seuss, because we did it over and over and over again. You mix it in with the traditional books, and by the time they leave your home and stop paying attention as teenagers, the hope is that they've got this stuff pat down.
Yeah, and you know, I think yesterday or the day before, I had Carrie McDonald on, who's an education expert, author of Unschooled, and very much we criticize the mainstream public education system and how everyone's going towards homeschooling or these alternative forms of schooling. And I know with my kids, you know, since I'm a Christian, we have a lot of Christian focus. But I think when it comes time, when they get a little older, I'm going to purchase some of your books to get them in on. Because you're talking about, at this young age, some of your books talk already about Great Reset and a lot of these sorts of things from what I've seen. And, you know, I always like to get the big picture view from my guests. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. You've written about the war in Russia. The global economy is tanking. We've got COVID-1984, as I call it, and the Great Reset. You know, we can go through all of these. You know, what's your sort of big picture view of what's going on right now in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to clarify, you know, I write the monthly column for my own website, as well as what was supposed to be monthly for Peak Prosperity, but it's more like every 2 to 3 months just because of, you know, the day job and 4 kids and whatnot. But in those columns, I absolutely get into the Great Reset and what I consider to be really what seems like a controlled demolition of the broken debt based fiat money system, which needs a reset today. The kids' books, more fundamental sound versus fiat. What is debt? Things that our latest also is the Bitcoin book. So we don't necessarily get into the Klaus Schwab stuff in the children's books, but yeah, absolutely. Where we are today, we're at the end of a 50-year credit binge. This is the Austrian business cycle, which has, smaller waves that kind of consolidate into a massive credit bubble that's at the end of a 50-year cycle today. And as the great Ludwig von Mises said, there is no means to avoid the final collapse of a boom brought about by credit expansion. The choices are only to abandon credit expansion, causing a debt deflation, or a total catastrophe of the currency system involved. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's where we are today, right? So we have this choice. We walk a razor's edge, and the choice is really inflation that likely leads to currency collapse, or massive debt deflation, which is all the malinvestment from decades of money printing that's gone into uneconomic projects collapsing, because that's phantom wealth. It's debt-based wealth. Much of it's not real because it's unproductive. And the Fed is trying to thread the needle. And as you can see, they're struggling, right? Each time they raise interest rates, they have to take them, about half as high as they got them before things start to collapse. So when they got them up near 2% in 2019 and things started to fall apart, whether they were lucky or the whole thing was planned, COVID came along that allowed them to double down on the money printing. Well, we're reaching kind of the apex of that cycle. Inflation is running at 8% if you believe the CPI, which of course I don't think your audience does. I think you can easily double that due to the adjustments they make around hedonics and substitution. So really, we're looking at inflation that might be 15%. Much of it's driven by the money printing, but the other is the supply chain issues that were caused by government lockdowns. Probably the most boneheaded thing you can do to an economy that the Fed really has no control over, right? They can reduce demand for goods by raising interest rates, but they can't print more food and they can't print more energy. So we're coming up at what is really a calamity, not just our typical crashing markets that they get when they raise interest rates too much, but what could be, global shortages of food and energy. And if you line it up with some of the things the folks at the World Economic Forum have said, you have to wonder, is this stupidity or malfeasance? Is this planned or is this incompetence? And incompetence of this magnitude is literally hard to fathom. So if this is planned, right, who would take the credit for something like this? No one, right? So what you would need two things. You would need a massive boogeyman, and I give you Vladimir Putin, and you would need a stooge for all ages, and I give you Joe Biden. So it's a little suspect in my view.
More than suspect. And listening to you talk about the economy, I had a friend here in Mexico recently comment to me something that I never thought about, that here in Latin America, or at least Mexico, the banks are calling everyone up and pushing hard. They're pushing hard credit cards and credit like I've never seen before in other countries. And my friend was saying it's like these banks, which are part of this legacy fiat financial system, as you said, it's like they're desperate. They keep pushing credit because that system is based on it and debt. Would you agree that's what they're doing, and that it's a sign of desperation because they want more people to take this credit and get into debt? Meanwhile, the system is crashing and something new is around on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So our second book is, our first one's called Where Does Money Come From? And that explains to children the difference between sound and fiat and how America left the gold standard in 1971 and what problems that's caused since and how they can stay ahead of it. But the second one really gets into this concept that you just mentioned, which is the debt-based money system we call the big green blob, right? It's called good debt, bad debt, the big green blob, because the money system itself has to keep growing, right? It has two states. It's either growing or it's collapsing. And that's because every dollar in existence today is created as a loan, either when the Federal Reserve buys treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, or when banks lend out money through fractional reserve banking. Every dollar that one obtains requires repayment of that dollar, the principal, plus interest. So if it's not growing, right, if there aren't more dollars in the system tomorrow to pay back the existing debt, then that debt isn't getting repaid. It's being defaulted upon, meaning it's collapsing. It's going from being an asset on somebody's balance sheet to, you know, marked to market or marked to zero, meaning it's collapsing. So if they don't encourage my children and yours and everybody else to continue to keep borrowing, the system collapses in on itself. And that means assets come way down in value. So not only do they have to keep creating new money, but they have to encourage all of us to keep borrowing. Because if we're not borrowing that money, there's nothing that they can do. And I think the legacy system, as you said, has reached that end point, right? We're on the razor's edge, where it really has very little left to do besides hyperinflate or collapse in on itself. But I think what they'll try next are the CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies, which will allow them to create money directly, not simply by buying financial assets and having the banks, you know, try to create new loans by getting new borrowers, but instead by pushing money right into people's hands through their phones. And the scary thing with that, of course, is one, you lose all privacy. I mean, the only thing worse than paper money that's fiat is a purely digital fiat, because you lose all privacy. But secondly, it really gives them totalitarian control, because this concept of smart money says they can designate when, how, and where, and how quickly your money can be spent, pouring it towards favorite projects, giving it to folks that have the appropriate social credit scores and are wearing their masks and doing everything just the way they're told to. And I think that'll be their next Hail Mary pass to try to save the system. But I think what they're failing to understand is one of the most important components of any system, which is the price signal, right? It's the price signal that creates the incentive by which entrepreneurs and producers produce. That's the key benefit of a free market system. And if you instead use a controllable money, you basically distort that signal. And so, you know, on the two ends of the spectrum, you've got totalitarianism and control on one side, and liberty free markets and the price signal on the other. And this moves us more towards totalitarianism, which, of course, historically has been a complete failure.
Yeah, this social credit system has been the number one thing I've been most concerned about lately. And we're going to have to take our first break here. You know, maybe during the break, you can check out thebaddaddy.com. Don't go anywhere. Just keep listening on TNT Radio.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19. We are the boy band. Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Messages for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
bad government, climate change alarmists, vaccine mandates. The threats to your freedom are many, but that's where we can help.
Hear more truths.
TNT Radio.
All the time.
Our truth shall set you free.
Today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
It's the Hrvoje Moric Show. We've been talking to Phil Denniston of TheBadDaddy.com. We've been talking about the economy. When I've gotten calls from banks pushing credit, I'm a minimalist. I hate debt. And I tell them to their face, you know, sometimes I get frustrated because they call me in Spanish and I just respond in Croatian or something. And I just tell them, like, I'm not going to be a slave. Like, literally, what am I going to buy with this credit that you're giving me? I got nothing to buy. In any case, you were talking about the cashless society, the CBDCs. I've talked to a number of expert guests, some that are very pro bullish on crypto, others that are not. I've spoken to Mark Yeftovich of the Bomb Thrower and Crypto Capitalist Newsletter, CEO of EasyDNS here on TNT. He believes that we'll have sort of a bifurcated system where each nation will get their CBDCs, but in parallel fashion, cryptos will continue to exist. I'm more pessimistic that we are going to go into this dystopian social credit system. You know, some of us have already started experiencing this. I got taken off of Patreon. I got taken off of PayPal a few weeks ago. Spotify started deleting my podcasts. On and on it goes, you know. You know, what's your take on the future regarding this cashless society, as well as with cryptos? You know, crypto has been experiencing a big crash. You know, what's your take on this dystopian future that we seem to be headed into?
Yeah, great question. So first off, and I only discovered your show recently, and I love it. And it's certainly what a shame, right, that they're deplatforming you and others. And that's censorship, right? That's the opposite of the ideas on which this country was based. We absolutely need the free exchange of ideas and debate. That's the only way that we're really going to find truth. And, you know, one of the beauties of this country is also that we have 50 states and states' rights, although those have been eroded, as have the individuals. But if you take COVID as an example, I mean, what was, you know, one of the best things that we had going for us in the United States is that the states could act differently, and we could see how those differences would result in an improvement to quality of life or an improvement to public health or the opposite. And I think it was pretty clear, you know, the states that you know, offer more liberty, whether that's Texas or Florida or South Dakota or others, you know, did as well or better from a public health standpoint than the states with draconian lockdowns. I was never more happy that we moved from San Diego, California, which I love, but we lived there for 10 years, and I moved in 2013 because of they were raising taxes more on high income earners, and it just felt like for principle we should go. But when COVID hit, boy, was I happy, because here in Texas we had a much better experience. We didn't spend 2 years, you know, doing Zoom school. I don't know how the kids got through that in California, but that's an example, right, of you know, the difference between, you know, where we came from, right, with liberty and free ideas, to where the leadership of this country and even honestly the zeitgeist of much of the mainstream is trying to take us to a place of censorship that comes really right out of the dystopian novels of the, you know, mid-century, 1984 as an example. Let's see, your other question around crypto. I think, you know, first of all, we have to distinguish between cryptocurrency and, you know, individual cryptos. I think it took me a little while to get on board with Bitcoin, only because I've been such a hard money enthusiast since I really discovered the root of all these problems being the fiat money system. And I would say I kind of came across that in 2008 after the great financial crisis. Having been an econ major in college, I mostly read the mainstream stuff from 2000 to 2008. And I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? The powers that be, the masters of the universe, can't possibly be this stupid. What aren't they telling us? And that's when I discovered the fiat system is really the problem. And you'd think I would have jumped right in it with Bitcoin at a dollar or two because I was hearing about it. But I made the mistake of thinking that gold is historically, right, the best form of money on earth. And while that's true, it didn't mean that I also didn't own silver. There's a great role for silver as well, especially trading small denominations and whatnot. Well, there's a role for Bitcoin too. And after I, you know, a couple of years of kind of being resistant and watching, and I started to read a little bit more, and it's an absolutely beautiful story. You know, Bitcoin was created in such a way that nobody benefited, right? Everybody was given the white paper and the ability to mine Bitcoin at the same time. And so those that did either believed in the concept and went out and did the mining, or they bought it on the open market as a speculation. And it has been amazing. Now, it's only 12 years old, but it's also created in this environment of money printing and speculation, you know, an industry that's ripe with a lot of garbage, a cesspool of junk, as I call it. And so we're seeing a lot of that now, right? I never really got the real value of a stable coin. And of course, now we're learning they're not stable either, which I would argue is pretty obvious. A lot of these things are essentially Ponzi schemes. I think when you hear Sam Bankman-Fried, I think that's his name, I don't have it memorized, but describing the magic box in which yield farming is, I mean, it's a true Ponzi scheme. So I do believe in Bitcoin. I think it's a beautiful story. It's still a speculation, in part because I think, you know, it's to the extent that government and the powerful forces in banking and legal, the legacy systems that it can possibly disrupt are so powerful that if they figure that out, I mean, the force of government will have to come down on it. And so it could be crushed if it gets big enough, you know, in the free market. Chooses it. Government, in theory, you know, it could overcome that, but it's too early to tell. And as for the other cryptos, I mean, there certainly could be uses for and use cases for some, but today I see Bitcoin as really the world's reserve currency of cryptocurrencies, and so far the one, I think, with the best design and story. Not to say that I've become an expert at all the others, because I really haven't spent much time with the others. There's too many of them, and they mostly seem to be like hot IPOs that people are looking to push on the unsuspecting public, essentially get rich quick schemes and Ponzi schemes.
In one of your articles, I believe you've said that the system is careening towards inevitable collapse, alluding to hyperinflation, which you just mentioned, a new Great Depression, or both. I'm of that opinion. I've had that for a while, reading, probably we've read the same people, you know, Peter Schiff, who I've interviewed, Mark Faber, who I've interviewed, and, you know, even Jim Rogers. And it definitely looks like we are finally here at the very edge. I'm reading the inflation is insane. It's not going away. We're going to have semi-permanent fuel shortages because of Russian gas going offline for like the foreseeable future, supply chains breaking down. I was reading this morning that the semiconductor issue, they're going to be raising prices again. Electronics are going to be going up 5-10%. And just, what is this going to look like? What do you think? I mean, I feel like it's going to be the 1929, 1930s, but probably even worse. You know, what are your thoughts on what awaits us on the other side?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, and I'm an optimistic person, right? I go through life, a pretty happy guy. I try to prepare, but I want to live my life in a state of optimism and of, and enjoying this time that we have on Earth, right? But on the other hand, the dark clouds are on the horizon, and it would be quite a feat if we can avoid complete and total calamity, whether that's through hyperinflation, whether that's through an absolute depression, or whether it's through a combination, an inflationary depression. The system today is the groundwork for those problems have already been laid, right? So 50 years of bad policy have gotten us to this point. There really isn't any solutions. We're in a predicament. Obviously, the best thing we could do is, as Schiff would say, is dismantle government. It's to go back to sound money. And if we do that, boy, there'll be an awakening. The future of America will look bright, but there will be pain still, because everybody's 401ks and, you know, and the fact that we've been living high on the hog by using the world's reserve currency to import products that are built on the sweat and backs of other nations, that stuff has to come to an end. It doesn't mean that our life can't be have even more meaning later. And again, if we go back to limited government, sound money, and liberty and justice for all, as they say, not a two-tiered crony system where there are rules for us and different rules for the elites, the future could be bright. And if you look at the administration and even most of the clowns in Congress today, it seems unlikely that we don't get there without significant pain. And trying to prepare for that, I mean, here in Texas, we try to make sufficient preparations at our homestead. And even, you know, my family is invested in Rancho Santana down in Nicaragua, which is Bill Bonner and our Gore Financial's 2,700-acre property, which is beautiful. And the tricky thing is, when do you pull the plug? When do you go down there, right? If we are in for a really tough time here, there's no telling whether it's going to be better there. I think they would avoid the nuclear war that could come between East and West, given that it's a Central American backwater. But the challenge is, yeah, when do you pull the plug? We've got, you know, lives and my family and my job and, you know, our community here. So, but again, I try to be optimistic and prepared at the same time.
I'd agree. I like the term realist. So in your daily life, try to enjoy, you know, be optimistic, maybe in the daily aspect, you know, laugh, do what you do every day, but then keep study these things, keep them in mind and prepare for the possible worst outcome. And maybe in the last segment, we can talk more about preparing. I've got some questions on that since you mentioned war and you've written that article. That was my next question. What's going on in Ukraine? We've had this week Soros saying it could be the beginning of World War III. I caught Simon Mihaljevic, which you might know, smart investor as well, echoing that sentiment. Just many smart people saying that we could be going into it. You wrote, goodbye COVID, hello Russia. We sure hop from one crisis to the next in the fourth turning. It's possible the powers that be are using the Ukrainian invasion to try to bleed Russia dry and advocate regime change to remove Putin. The risks of nuclear annihilation be damned. They see this as a realistic goal, which has benefits outweighing the costs. What's your take on what's happening in Ukraine and this, you know, new Cold War between NATO, Brussels, Washington, and Moscow?
Yeah, and it's a tough call, right? So I figured it's one of two things. I mean, either they are as stupid as they look and sound, which, I mean, to be honest, seems fairly likely. And that is they, you know, essentially have encouraged Putin to invade Ukraine because they're intent on dominating the world and perhaps taking out the our two closest competitors in terms of world domination, first Russia and then perhaps China, while we still can. But the risks of that are unthinkable. I mean, nuclear war. And the second possibility, though, was that, you know, the world needs a boogeyman, right? The trouble that we're about to face in this country from not only decades of poor policy choices, but the last couple of years, I mean, you know, perhaps at its worst, right? Not investing in energy, locking down economies, printing money by the trillions. And that's going to, the consequences of that are hitting us now. And if they can blame Vladimir Putin and at the same time let him have Ukraine, maybe it's a win-win for both sides. And so I was leaning towards that as being the more likely answer, especially when Biden announced that he'd be emptying, I think, a third of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I can't remember who was a million barrels a day for 6 months. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but that said to me, okay, they're not serious about starting a war with Russia or even risking one, because you wouldn't empty the Strategic Petroleum Reserve if you were going to do that. And on the other hand, a few weeks later, he announced he better fill it up again. So it's hard to know, by the way, who's even in charge of the apparatus of state. I think we can agree wholeheartedly that Joe Biden is not making decisions. So who is? I mean, it's, you know, obviously the deep state, but who specifically? I don't know. And they don't want you to know. So now we have a shadow government, an unelected bureaucratic apparatus making decisions for the American people. And, you know, that is about as down the rabbit hole as we could probably get. But yeah, so it's hard to say. It's hard to say. But I think they are stupid enough that they may be risking nuclear war with Russia, and it may be an inside deal where we need to point to a bad guy, let him have Ukraine, and then we can point to a bad guy for all the problems that are going to happen anyway, instead of looking at our own political system as part of the problem.
I've been oscillating between those two positions, primarily among perhaps other scenarios, because as you say, it's really hard to know. There's so much information out there from all sides, disinformation. Even though I secretly, don't mind Russia sticking it to the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization, as I call it, nevertheless, I'm not some blindly pro-Russian, bot. And you're getting, even on my Telegram channel now, there are these like super pro-Russian Putin bots, which is annoying. Like, I don't like going to either extreme, but yeah, it could be some inside deal between the great powers, as you say, or there's also good evidence that Washington and Brussels and London want to destroy Russia and take us to World War III. We've got the Rand white paper documents talking about this, and just a lot of evidence as well. I guess time will tell, and we're going to take our second break. Again, check out thebaddaddy.com perhaps during the break here on TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The United States is truly in a breakdown crisis. And as I have previously mentioned, I wonder if the November midterm elections will even go ahead. They probably will, but we are in for some volatile months with an escalating war danger with Russia and a serious economic crisis which will be much worse by year's end. Already supply chains of many commodities are in crisis, which will directly impact plans for the November elections. For instance, Louisiana Secretary of State Kyle Doan said his state had to contact every paper producer in North America to ensure supplies were ready for November. This is a crisis that demands immediate attention and bipartisan action, he said, and added that a paper shortage could lead to a serious erosion in the confidence of the elections. This is just one anecdote, but America is hanging by a thread. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Suck it up.
It's not a big deal.
Snap out of it.
Just get over it.
We've all heard it, but if you're experiencing extreme stress, it's not just in your head. It can affect your entire body, because toxic stress can hurt us physically without us even knowing it. If you've lost a job, worry about your next meal, or have trouble making it through the day, if you're feeling the effects of stress, we can help. Text STRESS to 211-211 to find a solution.
Get breaking news on your phone when it happens. Download our app from the Google Play and App Store now.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're back on the Hrvoje Moric show on our final stretch with Phil Denniston of thebaddaddy.com. And so I often ask my guests to take us around the world. We've been talking about the economy, foreign policy. I always turn back to the U.S., the domestic situation. You've also written about subversion of America. There's a lot of craziness going on. I never really was a Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him. Well, I didn't vote. I don't think I would. I like to vote on principle. The only candidate I've ever voted for was Ron Paul. But I do believe the election was stolen, but it wouldn't be the first time that's happened either, for both parties. But, what's your take on what's happening to America? It really seems like America is being attacked and someone's trying to take it down.
Yeah. So, and me too. I haven't voted in a long time, right? But before, I was completely disillusioned when I used to, believe the words that were coming out of the mouths of some of these politicians. But they're all pretty decrepit at this point. They just seem to be getting worse and worse. But yeah, I did write about the subversion of America from within. And the interesting thing is, as I started to research that, you know, I came across, it's not hidden, but the Army's Special Operations Manual for actually disrupting and overthrowing a government internally and disrupting the people. And really, it looks like this playbook, these tactics are what's being sort of foisted upon the American people. And they include clandestine operations for unconventional warfare by nurturing dissatisfaction with political, economic, and social conditions, sort of pitting us against each other. I mean, the release of the leak of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision is a perfect example to get us fighting with each other instead of identifying the real cause of our problems. Chris Martinson likes to use the example of rats in a cage. If you shock a single rat in a cage, you know, it'll eventually just curl up in a ball and suffer. But if you put two rats in a cage and you shock them both through the floor, they'll begin to fight each other and eventually fight to the death. The manual calls for an atmosphere of wider discontent through propaganda, lies, and political and psychological effort, discrediting institutions, aka defund the police, distrusted established institutions, basically communicating information that's conflicting with each other. And so the COVID hysteria seems to really accelerate all that. And you have to wonder what would be really subverting America from within. Is this foreign enemies, or is there some reason to do it internally? And one thing that worries me, you know, I almost hesitate to say it because the school shootings, especially so recently since we've had one, they're absolutely heartbreaking. The supermarkets and whatnot, and you have to wonder who's radicalizing these kids online. Is it an agent of a government, foreign or domestic, or is it simply the seeds of discontent from the other subversion clandestine operations I've talked about? I can't put my finger on the who, but the why, but the fact that it seems to be happening seems almost obvious as you start to kind of see the code in the matrix.
Yeah, and regarding the school shootings, I mean, I used to be a high school teacher, and no one talks about the pharmaceutical drugs. People have done reports in the past how pretty much every school shooter had been on, I forget what you call them, these SSRI or something, drugs that, you know, deal with depression and your mind, and whose secondary effects include, you know, like wanting to kill people or suicide. I'm a big video game fan, but as well, you know, there's the effect of video games and entertainment, where I view all of this put together collectively over the last few decades has been to attack our moral foundations. Some smart people, you know, just on my Twitter recently, there was this guy, J. Michael Waller, senior analyst for strategy in the U.S. He said, growing up in northern New England, we were allowed to bring our rifles and shotguns to school. Everyone respected firearms and used them safely. There was never an incident in the late 1970s. So we didn't have these problems we had guns everywhere. Kids brought them to school back in the day. There weren't these problems. But I think our moral and spiritual foundations have been broken with all this onslaught. I mean, you've got Netflix saying praise Satan, making films about basically pedophilia, you know, Disney participating in this. It's just crazy. I mean, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I agree. First, in 2019, I wrote and published my plan to save the world, which, of course, largely rested on a return to sound money and liberty and volunteerism. But when the section on school shootings, I said the same thing, that my theory is it's the brain scrambles. It's the prescription medication that these kids are taking. I mean, enough of them say on the bottle that a potential side effect is suicidal and homicidal ideations. But if you know, the power that the pharmaceutical industry wields over government is obviously no better example than that, than the vaccine and COVID hysteria would make it pretty difficult to really get that information into the mainstream. Your question on, let's see, what was the last part? Sorry.
Oh yeah, I think you kind of answered it, that it's related to the prescription drugs, and then as well, you know, to look at the other aspects of subversion, you know, there's this wokeism, cancel culture, you know, cultural Marxism. Yuri Bezmenov, in that famous interview with Edward Griffin, talked about, I forget if it was in the 70s or 80s, how there was this plan to slowly over the decades, you know, destroy the U.S. from within. And then people talk about civil war. I mean, do you see that as a possibility, like a second civil war?
Right. Yeah. Oh, and that interview by Yuri after defecting from the Soviet Union is fascinating, especially given it's from, you know, I think 1983 or something. And here we are, almost 40 years later, really seeing the consequences of it. Civil war. I'm not expecting a civil war. And I know that others think it's a likely outcome. And when we talk about the fourth turning, right, you know, that some type of war, I think, is certainly possible. And this is where, you know, every 80 to 90 years or so, we do wind up in a large war, whether it's the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War II, or now, right? What comes next? Is it another civil? I think the more likely scenario is a third world war. But the dissent that's happening in this country, yeah, it's certainly, they are looking to pit us against each other, red versus blue. I forgot where I was going to go. Now I remember. Yeah, the school shootings. I mean, so it does have me worried, right? That, you know, if they are radicalizing people to use guns in this way as a way to potentially take our guns. I mean, that's of course life imitating art. Doug Casey wrote a book on that in his Speculator series. I think it was Assassin. I just finished that one, like, you know, maybe 18 months ago. And so maybe that's why it's on my mind. But the timing does seem suspect.
Yeah, Doug Casey, I interviewed him on Geopolitics and Empire a few months ago. He got me my second strike, no fault of his, for questioning the election integrity. Is just insane. The YouTube, Pentagon Tube, as I call it, and Pentagon Pal, not PayPal. I guess you were talking earlier about, I want to get your thoughts on preparing. You mentioned Homestead, and this seems to me one of the keys is getting out of the urban areas, getting to a rural area, having a homestead, a farm, you know, water, food, basically, and shelter, and, you know, working as well on energy, some kind of energy. You mentioned Nicaragua. Maybe when the tomato hits the fan, you won't be able to get down to Nicaragua without your monkeypox vaccine certificate. But there's people also heading for Uruguay, like Doug Casey, or Germans are fleeing to Paraguay. A lot of people coming down here to Mexico. And so, what are further thoughts? I guess you want to have as well physical assets, gold, silver, having some crypto, tools that you're going to be using, you know, other general thoughts on preparing for these hard economic times, and authoritarian political times, potential war, and so on.
Yeah. And you mentioned a lot of good things, right? So, and I've been sort of trying to prepare for all this stuff for a long time, because when you first come to the conclusion that, you know, the whole system is going to face inevitable collapse, you begin to think that it's imminent, and just because it's inevitable doesn't mean that it's imminent. So, you know, my wife has been hearing me talk about this and prepare for this largely since probably 2009. But you got to stay nimble, right? And you got to watch, and you got to be prepared to change. A good example of that is, you know, in terms of having physical gold, you know, I absolutely agree with that. And then, you know, having some of it, outside of your home country, I think is important too, depending on what type of capital controls that you face. So we had some in Canada up at Cube Global Storage. But then after what Justin Trudeau was doing to the truckers and whatnot, I was like, we got to get it out of Canada. It's not going to do us any good up there. So you got to be ready to move stuff around. And that's one reason why I do like Bitcoin, because, you know, it is so beautiful in that it's a sovereign, right? A non-government digital financial asset that's limited in supply, that you can literally you know, you can move across borders, you can send across the world in seconds and at very little cost. And that's something that you can't do with gold and silver. I mean, there's only so much gold and silver you can get across a border. So you got to diversify. You got to have a little Bitcoin. You should have a solid amount of physical gold and silver. Food and water, as you say, and I have not done necessarily well there, aside from stored food. I do not have a green thumb, and I have very little time, so I haven't really focused on gardening, and that sort of nags at me, although I try to do most of the other stuff. But as you mentioned, right, we built this beautiful vacation home in Nicaragua that would serve, in my mind, when we started and bought into this, it was for the possibility that the United States could go to nuclear war with Russia and or China. And this was, you know, we bought the plot probably, oh, I guess maybe 10, 11 years ago. And we finished building the home probably 3 or 4 years ago. But my thought at the time was that was a likely scenario. And, you know, whether the war goes nuclear or not, if ultimately there's a war between superpowers, if it's nuclear, you don't want to be in the Northern Hemisphere, really, not in China, Russia, or Europe, or the United States. And even if it doesn't, right, if America's collapse is inevitable, the Nicaraguan government would be on the other side. So you sort of had your bets a little bit. But then COVID hit, right, and you couldn't go anywhere. And even now, we can get back down there, but when do you pull the plug? You know, we're sort of, in many ways, like a frog boiling in a pot. So we tried to talk about what our lines were, what lines would need to be crossed at which we would drop everything and go. And maybe we've gotten close to some of those lines, but they haven't crossed yet. But in the meantime, the other thing, and this is maybe the most important, really is education. It's making sure you understand the systems around us, be it the money system or the political system. And also make sure you have information sources that you can trust, right? If all you do is ingest the mainstream newspapers and cable channels, you're not getting the real story. You're being manipulated. And maybe that's fine when things are well, but when things aren't well, like COVID, if that's all you had, I mean, they're whipping you up into a hysteria, ratcheting up your anxiety to put in more controls. And so, you know, I've been reading people like Chris Martinson and some of the others that you mentioned for, you know, 10, 15 years. And so when something like this came along, I didn't have to go out and find somebody I could trust. I knew who I could trust. I knew where to get the real and the best information. So education and having that access to people and information that you can trust is probably more important than the other stuff. But as you said, food, water, gold, silver, and Bitcoin are important too.
Yeah, I had Bill Holter on TNT maybe last week. He had fled to Costa Rica in 2006 and came back, ended up coming back in 2011. So he jumped the gun. You know, I'm down here in Mexico. I've chatted to Mexicans about this, and they've been concerned about nuclear war. But I don't think it's, as you said, I think in Mexico, we'd be all right if there were nukes flying, they'd hit the U.S. And as well, you know, I used to have a gold money account. I was really big on gold money early on, and I still have Alistair McLeod on from time to time to give analysis, but I had to shut my account with gold money because twice, 2 years in a row, they froze my account for months on end, asking for insane, I don't know if it was KYC, know your customer, or what. And then I've heard other people have commented that they've confiscated their money as well. So, you know, I had a bad experience with gold money where 2 years in a row, they were demanding such an obscene amount of personal identification. I just said, screw this, close my account. We've got a few minutes left. Any other pertinent issues you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I guess we've probably covered the main ones. I guess the one thing I'll mention, especially for your subscribers who probably haven't heard me before, is we do have a great way to try our books out where there really isn't any obligation. It's called the Alliance Partnership Subscription. Actually, that's a term I think I borrowed from Stansberry Research, who I'm an Alliance member of. But basically, that means you subscribe to our books and you get one every 3 months, a 40% savings on each one. So they're 15 bucks each instead of 25. But that when that first one gets there, if you don't like it, let us know. We'll refund 100% of your money. No other purchase obligation. You get 100% back and keep the book, you know, put it on the shelf or give it to a neighbor if you don't like it. It's that important that these stories really find your family.
Yeah, I'm going to check out your stuff at, well, thebaddaddy.com. Well, thank you, Phil, for taking the time to chat. I wish you the best of luck. What do they say in the Hunger Games? May the odds ever be in your favor. So everyone do check out thebaddaddy.com and follow all the socials there. Stick around for the news break, and we'll see you on the other side here on TNT Radio.